Thank you, Pierre. One of the things I'm going to ask you to do is listen to how easily it is to understand what I'm saying, like, literally. We've been having some problems with our sound system. Sometimes people have said that they haven't been able to hear exactly what I'm saying, and so we're going to try to track that and see if it's a certain microphone, if it's certain speakers. We really want to make sure as many that all of you can hear every that thing that's being said on a Sunday morning. So if you can't hear part of what's being said, or there's a certain microphone, you know, is there a certain person you haven't been able to understand, could you please let Kevin know? He's the guy who really needs to know, because we need to know whether we need to work on our EQ levels, if we need to work on a certain microphone, all that kind of stuff. So if it's also, by the way, well known that this part of the sanctuary and this part can't hear as well as in the middle. So if you're having trouble hearing, there are some good spots to sit that help you to hear better. So, but please let us know if you're having difficulty hearing anything that somebody's saying. Please let Kevin know. He would love to hear that from you. Well, we're going to continue our series on prayer. So far, we've been talking about prayer more in the personal sense, more talking about closet prayer and what motivates personal prayer. Last Sunday, Kenny talked about personal intercessory prayer. And this Sunday, we're going to kind of move from private personal prayer and take prayer kind of out of the closet and into the church. And we're going to talk about prayer in the context of church. Specifically, how do we pray when we get together as a church in its various meetings and shapes, ways, shapes, and forms? When we get together, say, on a Sunday morning or Wednesday at corporate prayer or at house group or at the video series or maybe even just gathering in each other's homes around a meal, how do we pray? How do we express prayer corporately as a church? So that's what we're going to look at today. I'm going to warn you, I have to pack a lot into this message. So if I'm talking really fast and you miss some points, I can get you notes. But take notes. This is kind of going to be a little bit more of a Bible study. And so a bit more of a lecture style. So if you just need to follow up after me with getting some information, that would be fine. I'd be happy to send you stuff by email or whatever it is. So what happens when the church gets together to pray? How do we express prayer together? Well, I want to talk about two aspects of prayer in the church. The first is what we often call prayer ministry. Prayer ministry. What is prayer ministry? Prayer ministry is when we in the church pray for specific needs in each other's lives when we get together. That's a very simple definition, but really that's what it is. Prayer ministry really is just praying for one another when we're together, right? In James chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, I know our house group studied this scripture on Thursday. This will be a bit of a review for you, but I wanted to make sure that we covered this as a congregation as well. James chapter 5, starting in verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The first thing that James mentions, there's basically three reasons why we pray for one another in this passage. The first one is trouble. He says, the very first sentence he says here, is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. You know, oftentimes prayer ministry is a response to something that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Perhaps you go to church on a Sunday morning and you hear something in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit takes that and applies it to your heart, and it just kind of hits the mark, right? Or you're at a Bible study, or there's something going on, and all of a sudden you're feeling the Holy Spirit kind of pressing in on you, right? And you feel compelled to respond. You feel like, you know what? I need prayer. I feel like I need to meet with God. I need to find what God wants me to do in this situation. Maybe it's a search for spiritual direction for the future. Perhaps it's something going on in your home or at work. Maybe it's a financial issue or some problem that needs resolution. The first thing that we need to realize is that God sees our troubles as opportunities. God sees the trouble that we're going through as an opportunity, first for Him to move in our lives. God sees trouble as an opportunity to move. Again and again in the scriptures, we see the character of God, that He is God of the underdog, that He's God of those who struggle. He's God of those who are in trouble. Jesus said it, right? In this world, you will have trouble, right? He didn't say, you know, you follow me, everything's going to be just fine. I'm just going to be happy, and I'll just take care of everything. It's all going to be good. No, he was straight up. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but don't be afraid. I've overcome this world. See, trouble for God is an opportunity. It's an invitation, actually, to pray. In Psalm 34, 17, it says this, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles." The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. God looks at our trouble as an opportunity to reveal things about Himself, things about His love and His goodness and His greatness. And so He invites us to pray when we are encountering trouble so that we can see Him intervene in that situation on our behalf. So trouble is an opportunity for God to move. But not only that, trouble is also an opportunity for the body of Christ to move. When we're going through trouble, it's an opportunity for us to love and to care for each other. God wanted this so much that He poured out His Holy Spirit on the New Testament church. And the Holy Spirit, when He came, filled with the believers with spiritual gifts and abilities for what? For mutual care and support. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says this, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given." Why? "For the common good." God has given us His Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings with Him gifts, right? Spiritual gifts to fill His church. Why? So that when we're getting together and we're praying for one another, that He can strengthen us through that prayer, that He can edify and strengthen and build up the church as we pray for and care for one another. Goes on in verse 8 to describe what that looks like. He says, "To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit." So picture this. You're going through trouble. And you just feel like you need prayer. You're at church on Sunday morning, and you know you just can't leave until you get somebody to pray for you. And so you approach a person. You know they pray and that they love you and they care for you, and say, "You know, I need prayer." So as they're praying for you, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's there, because the Holy Spirit loves to answer prayer. The Holy Spirit loves to move when somebody's in trouble, right? And as the person's praying for you, perhaps all of a sudden God just gives them a message for you, a message of wisdom. You didn't know what to do before you went to prayer, and all of a sudden the person's like, "You know, I just sense that this is what God wants to say to you." And they deliver a message of wisdom or a message of knowledge from God. And all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, thank you, Lord. I know exactly what I need to do in this situation." And it totally changes how you're feeling about everything. to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers. I want that gift. That would be a very cool gift, miraculous powers. To another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these gifts were given to the church for the strengthening of the church. Pretty cool. But it happens in a context of mutual support, care, and prayer. When we pray for one another, these spiritual gifts show up in our midst. They manifest as we get close enough to care for and pray for one another. Prayer is one of the most caring things you can do for one another. It is in this place that God is able to do things that are beyond us. That's why we pray, isn't it? Because, you know, as much as we can maybe hug each other and encourage each other, humanly speaking, it's when the Holy Spirit shows up that things go beyond us, right? Where he can bring his power to a situation. He can bring spiritual resources to a situation that we don't have. But God can't move through the body of Christ if the body of Christ is still and silent. If we come together at church or at house group or in our informal gatherings and we aren't taking time to pray for each other, we're missing opportunities for the Holy Spirit to show up and move through one another. This was the real benefit, I believe, of the Holy Spirit weekend we had on Thanksgiving weekend. You know, far more important than whatever emotional experience you may have had that weekend, the thing that impacted me was I saw the church praying for one another, right? We were all praying for each other. That was the revolutionary thing about that weekend, was God was showing up and speaking to people and moving in people's hearts because we were activated. We were going outside of our comfort zones to pray for one another and exercising spiritual gifts in new ways. That was what was exciting about that weekend. So when you come to church, be ready to pray. Are you ready to pray this morning? Are you ready? If God asks you, would you be ready just to go alongside somebody and pray for them? Encourage them. And just be open to what maybe the Holy Spirit might want to do through you in their life. When you go to house group or the video series, are you ready to pray for somebody? Are you going to get or are you going to give, right? Is there something in you that says, okay, Holy Spirit, tonight when I go to house group, tonight when I interact with other believers, is there somebody you want me to encourage? When we go in with that attitude, the Holy Spirit can prompt us to share, to pray, to care, to exercise our spiritual gifts. Amen? Trouble. If you're in trouble, pray. Pray for one another. Share your troubles with somebody and ask them to pray for you. Secondly, the second thing that James talks about in James chapter 5 is sin. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Church, sometimes sin is the thing that goes underground in fellowship because that's the messy part of our lives, isn't it? I mean, we as Christians, we think, well, we're not really supposed to sin, so maybe I'll just not share that struggle, not share what I'm going through in my battle with sin. But James talks about being open about sin, having an openness as a church to confess sin, to say, I'm not perfect, I'm really struggling in this area of my life, and I need support, I need prayer. It says pray for each other in this area. Oftentimes in the church, somebody labors all alone in their battle with sin. Maybe they're ashamed, or maybe they think that nobody else is struggling with that particular sin, and so what they end up doing is they stay quiet. They keep quiet, and they're oftentimes tortured in the background. They put the happy face on when they're together with the other believers, But nobody knows the battle that goes on in the quiet places of their heart. That's a shame. The church should be a place for us to support one another in that battle. Openness is one of the most effective weapons we have in our battle with sin and the sinful nature. Think about it. Think about it from the enemy's point of view. What's the quickest way, most effective way of sidelining the church? Get us to hide from each other, right? Get us to hide our faults and our sinful habits and our struggles. If he can get us to do that, hide from each other, he can get in the way of our love and our intimacy with one another. He can keep us from building trust. You know what builds trust? When you confess your sin to somebody, and instead of them going, "Oof, that's terrible," they go, "You know what? I'm so relieved that you shared that because I've got my own struggles. Can we pray for each other and support each other in our struggles?" The church needs to be a safe place to confess sin, whatever it might be. We need to be safe people, not to judge people who are confessing sin or the temptation to sin, but to come alongside them and support, to pray for them. It says here, pray for each other, to provide ongoing help and accountability. And that happens in prayer ministry. Prayer ministry is a place for us to confess our sin to one another. Church, are we open? Are we an open place? We need to be an open place. We need to be trustworthy in either praying for somebody who's struggling, and we need to be open in sharing our own struggles. I can guarantee you every single person in this room is struggling with a sin on some level. We need to be open about that. Brothers and sisters, if we want spiritual freedom to be our legacy in this community, we need to be open. Because freedom happens through open confession. By us going through these battles together. We were never meant to go through it alone. So let's be that kind of environment where sin does not go underground, is not hidden. Freedom comes when we learn to become dependent on the Holy Spirit, right? And we learn that dependency and that openness in an open place where we can care and pray for one another. So let's be an environment of openness. Thirdly, in this passage in James 5, James talks about healing. Is anyone sick? Let him call the elders of the church to pray for them. We do that at Trinity. We often, as elders, get called to anoint somebody with oil and pray for them. We pray over them, lay hands on them. And I think sometimes, because of this passage, people think that it's the elder's job to pray for sick people. But actually, a little later on in James chapter 5, it also says, hit that next slide, pray for each other so that you may be healed. And that's a more general, there are certain circumstances, serious illness, hospitalization, critical illness, that you want the elders to come and anoint you and pray for you. Yes. But we should always be praying for one another, right? For health in each other's life. We should always be, if you're sick, pray for one another. Ask somebody to pray for you. Call them up. And it doesn't have to be an elder. It doesn't have to be a pastor to come over and anoint you. God answers the prayer for healing. And so often, people are healed all the time. And perhaps they think, it was their immune system. But perhaps not. Perhaps somebody's praying for them at that moment, and God was moving just through a regular person praying for them. So let's pray for one another for healing. So those are three reasons given in Scripture to pray for one another when we're together, right? When we're in trouble, right? We pray for one another. When we're struggling with sin, pray for one another. When we need healing, pray for one another. So that's why we would pray for each other when we're together. But the question still remains is how? When we get together, how should we pray for one another? Well, one of the biggest tragedies in the church is when we make prayer something that only certain people do, right? Now, there are certain situations where you want to be careful who you ask to pray for you, all right? And those are common sense. If you're struggling with a certain sexual sin, you certainly wouldn't want to ask somebody that you're sexually attracted to pray for you. That probably wouldn't be a good idea, right? So there are certain common sense things that we should go by. Generally speaking, guys should pray with guys if they're praying in twos and girls with girls. That's just common sense kind of stuff, right? However, oftentimes what's communicated is that the pastor's got more authority. You know, we look at that scripture that says a prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And I would like to claim that I'm more righteous than you, but probably not. I'm probably not. And your prayers are probably as effective as mine, right? And so we just need to get over that and just pray for one another. There's nothing especially powerful about a pastor or some great leader praying for someone. We just need to get together. We could pray. We just turn to somebody in the pew beside us, and they would just be just as effective in their prayers for one another. I do want to give one warning, and it's in the area of prophetic gifting and prophetic words. If you are praying for somebody and you get a prophetic word that is, you could tell would make a fairly big splash in somebody's life, maybe it's predictive, maybe it's telling them who they're going to marry, or I don't know what other examples. If somebody's, you know, say critically ill and you feel like God's saying they're going to be healed, my suggestion is this. If God drops a word on you like that, bring it to the elders. That's one of their roles, is testing prophetic words. Bring it to us. We'll test it and pray about it. And then if we feel that's the Lord, we can deliver that prophetic word to the person. So let's just be careful when handling prophetic gifting, because it can be destructive. It can have a bad impact in people's lives. So we need to be careful when handling, especially those big words, right? However, there is so many times, and I really get a kick out of this because I grew up in sort of like conservative evangelical background. And oftentimes what would end up happening would be people would like pray for each other and they would encourage one another. And what they didn't realize is that they were operating in a spiritual gift, right? That the Holy Spirit was actually giving them a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, which are both prophetic gifts, right? But God does that all the time. We don't even realize the times when we're praying for somebody, how the Holy Spirit takes words, puts them in our hearts, puts them in our minds, puts them in our mouths, and really touches somebody through it. And so don't underestimate a simple prayer. I have to tell you a story. When I was at LBE, Living Bible Explorers, years ago, I was just learning about prophetic gifting and prayer ministry and all that kind of stuff. And I was praying for one of my coworkers, and I just felt like, you know, I was like, "Okay, God, give me a word. You know, I want a word for this person." And then, sure enough, I feel like I get these words in my mind, but they were quite frankly cheesy. And if there's anything I hate, it's being cheesy, right? It was like the cheesiest prophetic word I could have ever imagined, and I'm like, "God, I'm not saying that." And it was like, "Tell her that tell her the words, heart of gold." I'm like, "I'm not saying that, God. Heart of gold. I want something edgy. You know, I'm edgy, God, really." And so I just can't shake it. I'm like, "Okay, I feel like God wants me to say heart of gold." And the prayer time keeps going, and it just felt lame. And I went away discouraged, and I thought, "Oh, that was nothing." Well, a couple months later, this coworker comes back up to me. She said, "You never believe what happened. I was in this other prayer ministry time, and somebody was praying for me, and then they said, heart of gold, and then they told me what that meant." I was like, "Wow, that's incredible." You know what? Because I was faithful in speaking that word, it got her attention when this person spoke it to her. That God was reiterating, he was reaffirming something to her. And God does that kind of stuff, right? So just be a vessel, just be open, and be willing to say things that might sound cheesy or silly. Brothers and sisters, prayer ministry should be happening all the time in our midst. Sunday mornings should be time where you know when you come to Trinity Baptist, somebody's going to pray for you. Trinity Baptist should be a place where you're coming to with the attitude of, who can I pray for? We should just have that kind of prayer environment. Amen? So when we come together, let's be willing to pray. Let's step outside of our comfort zones. Let's be willing to put our arms around each other spiritually and literally just say, I'm here. I'd love to pray for you. And let's care for one another, because God knows each one of us need care desperately. Matthew 18:19 says this, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I with them. If we really believe that God is present among us when we gather, it should be just the most natural thing for us just to turn to him and involve him in the conversation. That's really what it is. Prayer ministry is just involving the most powerful person who is present, the one who has the ability to address our troubles, help us overcome our sin, and heal us. He's present when we're gathered, right? And we could turn to him. It should just be so natural for us just to turn to him. We don't have to pray flowery prayers. They can be really raw. They can be broken prayers. But you know what? Let's pray. Doesn't matter how it sounds, but let's step outside our comfort zones and make this an environment of prayer. Amen? All right, that's prayer ministry. By the way, at Trinity Baptist, let's just say it's open season on praying for each other. You don't have to have a certain position. You don't have to be in leadership. Let's just pray. Okay? Can we do that? All right. Awesome. The second aspect of prayer, corporate prayer, I want to talk about is what we call corporate prayer. We at Trinity have kind of programmed corporate prayer, but it certainly isn't a program. Corporate prayer simply is when we gather together to pray for others, to do intercessory prayer. Okay? Corporate prayer is the place that we get together just to pray for others. Okay? Sometimes we, others means actually ourselves. We end up praying for the church. We intercede for the church. We pray for Trinity Baptist. We pray for the various leaders. We pray for the various ministries. And sometimes we pray beyond Trinity Baptist. We pray into our community. We pray for our city. We pray for aspects of our city, various people groups in our city. Sometimes we pray into things beyond our city, regional things. We pray for ministries or groups that are ministering here or there. Maybe we're praying globally. We're praying for certain mission work in overseas. And so really, corporate prayer can be as small or as big as we feel led by the Holy Spirit to pray. Probably the best way to categorize what corporate prayer is corporate prayer is when God draws us together for praying for the advancement of his kingdom through his church. That's probably the best, what all those prayers have in common. We want to see God advance his kingdom through the church. And so we pray for the church in that. We pray for the mission field in that. But it's all for the purpose of God advancing his kingdom through his church. Amen? And so that's why we pray corporately. 1 Timothy 2:1 is the passage I want to refer to in this. And it says this, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul tells Timothy, this letter he's writing is to sort of his spiritual protege, right? His spiritual son. And Timothy was raised up and sent out to plant churches. That was his ministry. And so Paul is writing this letter to Timothy as a church planter. And he's saying, when you go out to plant churches, one of the most really important things you need to do is to establish corporate prayer. When you get together, pray. Okay? All kinds of prayers, petitions, intercessions, these need to happen in the church. When you gather, you need to pray. In verse 8, he exhorts them to pray together in unity, lifting up holy hands together, without anger or disputing. And one of the things that we can observe in this passage is that Paul is encouraging the church to pray strategically. Strategically. In verse 2, Paul saw the opposition and persecution that the early church was experiencing. So he says, pray for kings and all those in authority that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. What was Paul seeing? Well, in the early church, the church was being chased from community to community, weren't they? As soon as the church would sort of grow up in a community, in a city or a city center, people reacted strongly against it. And so the church experienced a lot of persecution. And they were chased from place to place. And as a result, the gospel spread. But there was a deeper problem. You see, the gospel wasn't getting into those communities in the same depth that Paul really felt that the Holy Spirit wanted it to. He thought to himself, if the church could just buy houses in a community, settle down, raise their kids, send them to the same schools as the other kids. I mean, they didn't have the same system of society, but let's put it in a context of today. If Christian people could just move into communities and get involved, work in the local workplaces, and just begin to be an example of what it means to be a Christian community, the gospel would spread. And so he exhorted Timothy, as they were planting churches around the Roman world, that they would pray for those in authority so that they could live peaceful lives in the communities that they were getting saved in. It was a specific strategy for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't been persecuted recently in Canada. And so that might not be a key strategy or key prayer that we might pray. But there might be others. Because I know that in my neighborhood, even though God has planted me in Wolseley and my children go to local schools, I have a really difficult time sharing the gospel. I don't know about you guys, but it doesn't seem to be very often that I take the opportunity to represent Christ in my community. And so we have a whole different set of problems, don't we? In North America, we have the freedom to worship, to share our faith, but we simply don't. And so when we want to pray for the advancement of the kingdom of God through his church, we might pray completely differently, wouldn't we? We might not pray for the peace to settle into our communities, but we certainly would pray for a new boldness to step outside of our comfort zones, wouldn't we? Because we become afraid. We become timid. We've lost a sense of boldness to share something that the early church just wasn't ashamed of. They were threatened with jail time. They were threatened with all kinds of consequences. But the early church said, who are we going to obey? You are God, right? They weren't ashamed of the gospel. They weren't afraid to speak it. So maybe a prayer strategy for us is actually to deal with the sense of shame and embarrassment and fear that we feel in sharing the gospel, right? That might be our prayer strategy for corporate prayer. Well, church, are we praying? Are we praying for those very things? The things that are needed here, right in Winnipeg, to advance the kingdom of God through the church. One of the things that sometimes we do is we start thinking really practically. You know what? I'm just going to go off the page, guys. So just, I'm totally like, that PowerPoint's gone. I'm just going to preach. So just turn it off. I just felt like the Holy Spirit just wanted to unload a couple barrels today. So I'm just going to go off and see what happens. But one of the things that happens in the church is we look at practical situations, right? We see, oh man, the world feels that the church is irrelevant. That's why they're not coming. So what we need to do is simply become a more relevant church. So we can do that, you know? We can dress the pastor up in a leather jacket, you know, put some lights up, you know, blacken the, you know, make this in kind of like a theater. And we can, you know, we can play some rock music. That would be relevant. And that way we can become, and there's nothing wrong with that stuff, guys. But the thing is, when we put our hope in physical solutions to a spiritual problem, we've missed the mark. You see, it starts in intercessory corporate prayer because the issue is deeper than relevance. The issue is that there is a spiritual force behind the issues that are barriers to the gospel in our city. In 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." There is a host of spiritual forces of evil that blinds the minds of our society so they cannot see the truth. And so all the things that maybe we see as barriers to the gospel or the church advancing the kingdom of God in our community are actually things that have transpired as through a spiritual issue. There's spiritual forces of evil behind all those things. There's deception. There are strongholds of belief that need to be addressed. Rochelle talked about that this morning. In Quebec, in the 1960s, there was an exodus from the church. There was a leaving of the church. And there was a lot of things that replaced it, a lot of spiritual darkness and a lot of deception. Folks, those are spiritual strongholds. And we can't address spiritual strongholds with physical solutions. We actually need to start in prayer, corporate prayer. We need to do warfare on a level that is first spiritual. And yes, we can do more things. We the Holy Spirit in that place might say, you know what, you need to get Brad a leather jacket. You need to put up some lights and play some rock music. Hey, if the Holy Spirit said that, if that really was what the Holy Spirit wanted us to do, now we'd do it, wouldn't we? But the power wouldn't be in the lights and the leather jacket and the rock music. It'd be in the Holy Spirit manifesting. Amen? And so we as a church, are we seeking physical solutions to spiritual problems? Or are we seeking the Lord and saying, God, what do you want to do to break spiritual strongholds in our city? How do you want to advance your church in this city? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So the advancing of God's kingdom requires more than practical solutions. It requires us to be a praying people, first and foremost, who are seeking God for strategically how does he want us to pray. Paul had received a strategic prayer direction when he was writing to Timothy. He said, pray for the kings. Pray for those in authority. You guys need to be able to settle into your communities and be a light in those communities. So pray for peace in those communities. Folks, we have a different strategy that's needed. Are we seeking God for how he wants us to pray in this city to advance God's kingdom here? Are we seeking him for that? And when he gives us a prayer direction, are we going to plant the flag and say, yes, Lord, we'll pray into that. We will see your kingdom advanced here in Winnipeg. Corporate prayer is all about going beyond ourselves. I can tell you, you won't engage in corporate prayer because you feel like it, because you want to. Corporate prayer is where warfare really begins and happens. The last thing the devil wants us to do is to pray as a united church. And so he's going to do everything in his power. So he's going to say, he's going to convince us that prayer is powerless. That prayer really doesn't have an effect on things. The enemy's going to lie to us about all kinds of things. He's going to get us to look at each other in corporate prayer. I don't like how that person prays, so I'm not going to go to prayer. Right? Or, you know, I'm really tired after a long day at work. I just can't get myself there. You know, there's all kinds of things that the enemy is going to try to convince us about to keep us from praying together. But church, I know that if we pray together, that we will stand. And we will stand in the day of evil, right? Because that's what the Lord tells us to do, is to stand, therefore, right? Putting on the armor of God. This is the place that we do that. We stand firm. It's in prayer, and it's in praying together, right? So let's be a people of prayer. My hope this morning is twofold. I just kind of went blah. And so you might just need to take this away and think about it. But my hope is twofold. Number one is that you would feel a call, you would hear a call from the Lord to pray for one another. When we're together, that you would know that the Holy Spirit's brought you to this place to pray for someone or to receive prayer. That's my number one hope. I hope you leave here, and next week when we gather together, you're ready. That when we come together, you're ready to open up your heart to receive prayer, or you're ready to pray for someone, or both, right? Get somebody to pray for you, and then you pray for them. That's cool. My second hope is this, that you would feel a call to pray with each other for the advancement of the kingdom of God through this church. That you would, you know, and oftentimes what ends up happening is, by the way, let me just say this. Wednesday night's not the only place that you can pray with each other for the advancement of the kingdom. We, you know, Wednesday night's just one of those places where we said, this is what we're going to do. But you can pray at a house group, when you gather together, even social gatherings. If you feel led by the Holy Spirit to pray in a certain direction, it's not more valid because it's at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. No. But are we praying? Do we have an attitude of corporate intercessory prayer? That's the question. And so I really, my second hope is that you feel a call to pray with each other for the advancement of God's kingdom. This is going to require three things, and I just wanted to mention these three because I really feel like they're important for us to acknowledge. Number one, I really believe it's going to require a breakout. That we have to be willing to go to a deeper level in our area of comfortability. We will feel uncomfortable with prayer. And so if we're going to break out of our discomfort with prayer, we need to be able to step across some boundary lines. We need to be able to stretch past maybe where we feel comfortable. And so we need to sometimes break out of patterns of behavior, patterns of thinking. Sometimes we have to break out of, you know, sometimes we just get comfortable. And I know that Winnipeg is a really cold place, and it really stinks sometimes to after supper, and you've just had this nice warm meal, and it's 35 below outside, and it's Wednesday night, and you're like, oh God, the last thing I feel like is getting into the cold car and getting to Trinity for corporate prayer, right? I understand that. Prayer will be uncomfortable. It will create discomfort. The question is more, how convinced are we that prayer will make a difference? Is it worth it? Is it worth the discomfort? I believe it is. And I believe that God wants to convince you that it is. Jesus absolutely loves to bust our comfort zones. He has no problem busting our comfort zones. So if you feel a little uncomfortable, that's okay. Jesus is merciful. He'll help you through. By the way, if you're uncomfortable with praying out loud, that would be normal. Pray short prayers. Start small. And know that God values just that step of faith, that discomfort that you're feeling. That's worship, right? That's good. It'll get more comfortable. So that's the first thing. We need a breakout. Second thing, we need to just get practical. A lot of church and life together boils down to logistics. It really does. It's just a logistical issue a lot of times. In order for us to do church the way God wants us to do church and to be together as he wants us to be together. The fact is that we have busy lives. And for me to stand up here and say you need to be at corporate prayer every week is probably not realistic for you. So can I suggest something? Do the same thing you do with your financial giving. Just ask God. Say, God, you want me to invest into the corporate prayer life of Trinity Baptist. What can I give? Pray together with your spouse, or if you're single, just pray and say, God, is there something? Can I tithe some of my time to corporate prayer? Can I go once a month? hey, that's a whole lot better than 0 times a month, isn't it? Can I go once every 2 months? What can I possibly give into corporate prayer? And as the church gathers in that faithfulness, it's not about the amount, right? What did Jesus say to the woman who gave that little widow's mite? She gave far more. The guy who gave so much of the abundance that he had. If you only have the small amount and you give it, it's powerful, folks. It's powerful. So don't feel bad if life is busy and you just can't get out. Don't hear a guilt trip this morning. Give what you've got. Give where you're able. There's grace there. And God will take what you've got and he will multiply it. Amen? So don't be discouraged. Get practical. Look at your schedule. Look at things practically. When you come together on Sunday mornings, be practical. Start praying. If you have not done prayer ministry, if you're not you're uncomfortable praying for people, start with somebody you're comfortable with. Don't go right to the person you've never met, right? Get practical, you know? You might need to ease in a little bit. And pray for somebody and get prayer from somebody that you're comfortable with. Get practical. And last, keep it real. You will never, ever, ever, and I can say this from personal experience, you'll never, ever feel like praying. Why? It's called our sinful nature. Our flesh conspires with the enemy of our soul to always get in the way of what is right. Paul, just read Romans chapter 7. I won't go into it. But we will always feel that battle within us. Let's just be real. I often come Wednesday nights not feeling like praying. I sometimes come Sunday mornings without feeling like being here. Anybody relate to that? Sometimes it's a battle to get to the places where the Holy Spirit moves. Why? Because we're in warfare, folks. We are in a battle. And it's only when we push through those comfort zones, it's only when we push through that we see the victory. Let's push on those boundaries, but let's be real. We won't feel like it. And if you think that I feel like it more than you do, no, it's not true. But we need to do what we do not feel like doing. That's part of taking up our cross and following the Lord Jesus. Amen? Can we stand together? I've taken a long time. Yeah. Yeah, Holy Spirit, my hope is this morning that you've taken the time to have a heart-to-heart with us about prayer, about corporate aspects of prayer. And now what I want to ask, Holy Spirit, is that you would take the words that were yours and that you would plant them richly in our hearts and that you would call us to pray corporately. You'd help us to be an open environment for prayer. Jesus, I ask that you would provide the solutions if there are roadblocks, if there are barriers to prayer. Lord, I want to ask that you would come, that you would bring wisdom, you would bring revelation, that you would show us how it is that you want us to express prayer corporately at Trinity Baptist Church. And Lord, that you would help us to believe that greater things are yet to come. Not because of our faithfulness, but because of your faithfulness. Lord, you say that if we would seek you with all of our heart, we would find you. Lord, we've lost you in Winnipeg. Lord, our confession is that the spiritual atmosphere of our city needs Jesus to come in power. And Lord, we know that you move in response to your church. And Lord, we ask that you would stir in us a new call for prayer, that you would help us to believe that our prayers make a difference, that, Lord, you are attentive to the prayers of your people, even when we don't feel like going and praying. Oh, Lord, I just pray that you would stir a new call in us, that you would inspire us to be a people of prayer. Oh, Lord, I want to ask that in that process that you would open the wells of revival in our city. Lord, we believe that prayer is shovels digging in those wells. Lord, would you open up the springs of your Spirit again? Would you change through the prayers of your people the spiritual atmosphere of our city so that when we share the gospel, there will be a response immediately. Lord, would you address the hard ground of the hearts of the people in this city by your church praying? Would you unblind the minds of unbelievers so that they can see the light of the gospel? Lord, would you do that through us? Would you call us to pray? In Jesus' name, amen. I feel like we need to have an altar call. If you, this morning, if you felt that the Holy Spirit called you to pray, I want you to tell someone. If you felt a call to press through, don't just be silent about it. Tell somebody that you feel like God is inspiring you to be involved. And that way, it's a little bit more accountability. Well, let me bless you and release you. I know we've been here a while. We're going to do the Hebrews blessing. So may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.